Well, good morning to everybody. Certainly is a great pleasure to have this opportunity to be here with you, the church at Macedonia, Primitive Baptist Church, to worship the Lord together and to praise His name for salvation that's of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I always enjoy this time of the year. This is the one time a year I wear my flag tie to represent the celebration of this country that we live in, the United States of America. And last Thursday we celebrated its 248th year since the Declaration of Independence was signed and we became an independent nation separated from the King of England. And I always love this time of the year because it reminds me how blessed I am of the Lord to have been born here in this country of freedom. And it should be your thought too. But what's on my mind this morning is something even more important than that. More important than even being a citizen of this free country. And that's to be a son of the living God. And I want you to think about that for a minute. The God of heaven and earth. The eternal God that created this earth by the very power of His voice. Created it out of nothing and made it and created it. And He is the great God that we've met here to worship this morning. And to consider the fact that we are the sons of God. The sons of God. Now, when I say sons of God, I'm not speaking of gender. It's the sons of God. It's the daughters of God. It's the children of God. We are indeed the children of the living God. And I don't know how many times you just reflect upon how it is to have the evidence in your life that you have been born again of God. You were dead in trespasses and in sin and could do nothing of yourself to make you love God. But God loved you before you loved God. God loved you before you ever had any thoughts of loving Him. And He quickened you and gave you eternal life. And that is the very reason why your hearts and your minds are turned toward this great eternal living God. Now I want to speak to you from some scriptures that tell us some things about being a son, a daughter, a child of the living God. And that's what our thoughts are. I want to center our thoughts on this morning.
Yes.
Being a son, a daughter, a child of the living God. Now I've turned here to the book of Romans where we'll begin and take a text. It's found in the book of Romans chapter 8. And it says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now I want us to consider that one verse, Jack, just for a minute. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how we know someone is a child of God, is a son of God, is a daughter of God, because they're led by the Spirit of God. If they did not have the Spirit of God within their heart, we wouldn't recognize them to be a child of God, because they wouldn't be here to serve God. They'd have no desire to know Him. They'd have no desire to love Him. They'd have no desire to meet together with the people that know Him and worship Him. Those that are led by the Spirit of God that God has already placed within their hearts when He quickened them and gave them eternal life. Those are the children of God, the born again children of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When God reached down and rescued you from the fallen state you were in Adam, dead in trespasses and in sin, and gave you life. Yes, that's what He did. God gave you life. What is life? God is the author of life. There is no life that's apart from God. He's the author and giver of life. And God reached down and rescued you and gave you life. Yes, He did. And who did He give this? Who does He give this life to? He gives it to all that God the Father loved before the foundation of the world, and chose out of Adam's race and set them apart, and He quickens every last one that He chose and elected and gives them life. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. When the last heir of promise that God chose and gave to Christ has been quickened and given life, I believe that's the time that Jesus is going to step off the throne in glory and come down from heaven to receive His church, the triumphant church, all the elect family of God into heaven to live with Him in eternity. Yes, indeed. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. God has adopted you into His family, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Why do you cry, Abba, Father? Because the Spirit is within you, crying out unto God, Abba, Father, crying out unto you to worship the Lord, crying out unto you to recognize that you're a sinner. That's why when missionaries go overseas to a foreign place, to a place that no one's ever heard of a Bible, no one's ever heard of God or Jesus or anything, but yet in their heart they'll cry out unto God, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Why would they cry out for that? Because that Spirit of God is within their heart that causes them to recognize and feel the weight, the burden of sin in their life, and causes them, if they don't know anything else, to cry out unto God, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. They recognize they're a sinner. Why? Because the Spirit of God within them causes them to have that feeling, and they cry out unto God. And with the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Yes, indeed, the children of God are those that are led by the Spirit of God. Now we want to take a look at some other scriptures that speak about the children of God, and it tells us different things about how it is that we're children and how it is that we can even become a child of God. Now we want to turn over here to the Old Testament in the book of Hosea, and we'll find a scripture over here that speaks of the children of God. Now, I believe in this particular portion of scripture in the book of Hosea, that this reference here is written in the Old Testament, and it's written primarily for the worship of God's children under the law service. But this foretells of something that's in the future. This foretells of what God will do for his children. For the scriptures tell us that God elected and chose a people out of every nation, out of every tongue, out of every tribe, out of every people, both Jew and Gentile. But under the law service, only the nation Israel was considered the children of God. If you were not of the nation Israel, you were considered an outcast. Gentiles were considered outcasts. They were not the children of God in the minds of a lot of Jews. But God had a people even among the Gentiles in that day. And this scripture tells of a day when the Gentiles will be included in this gospel of Jesus Christ. He says here in Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, he says, yet the number of the children of Israel, and when he's speaking of children of Israel, I believe this is more of a reference to, rather than the children of the nation Israel, I believe this has reference to those who I call spiritual Israel, all of God's children, both Jew and Gentile, and I believe that this has reference to all of his children. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. You ever been to the ocean and picked up a handful of sand and just tried to count the pebbles of sand in your hand? You can't do it. I've tried sometimes. It's impossible. You can't count them. Does it mean that's how many children there are? No, it means just you can't count them. That's all it means. You ever looked up in the stars in on a clear night and seen all the stars in the Big Dipper and the North Star and tried to go over here and start counting them? Before you even get to the middle, you've lost count. You don't know which ones you've counted before and which one you haven't. What does that mean? They're innumerable. You cannot count them. Only God knows who they are. But God knows them, and he knows them by their name. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered, cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. And he's talking about in the Old Testament day when Gentiles were said of them, ye are not my people. Yet they were God's people, but that's what they said, because Israel was a chosen nation, chosen above all the other nations of the earth. It was a type and a shadow of God's spiritual Israel, which included all of God's people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe of people upon the face of the earth. And it shall be said, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God, both Jews and Gentiles. We're Gentiles here this morning. You are the sons of God by election. You are the sons of God by birth. God has birthed you and given you life and made you and adopted you into family and made you indeed his child. Now we want to turn over to the Gospel of John, where we'll see a scripture, and a lot of people get confused about this scripture, because this scripture will say that God gives you the power power to become the Son of God. He doesn't mean by that that he gives you the power to born yourself again and make yourself an adopted child in his family. He does not mean that, but he means that he, once you have the Spirit of God within you, he gives you the power to manifest yourself in this world in which we live as a child of the living God. And that's what this is speaking of. And we'll see it as we read down through here, beginning here at verse 11 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Now I want to stop there and discuss that verse 12 just a minute. What does that mean to become a child of God? By believing in his name. By believing in his name and becoming a disciple of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you become a manifested child of God, and the life that you live will be reflected around those that you associate with. They'll see and recognize that you have a special nature, separate from the way normal children or evil people act. You are a child of the living God, and that's what he means here when he says to become a child of God, to become a manifested child of God here in time, around those that you associate with. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, first of all, you understand and you know that you couldn't believe in his name if you weren't first born again. You couldn't believe in his name if you didn't have the Spirit of God within you. Why? Because those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And if they believe in Jesus, it's because they have the Spirit of God that leads them to believe. That's the way it goes, and that's the way it is. It goes on and clarifies that. So you can't mistake and think this is you believe here in order to be born again. He goes on in the next verse and says, which were born. Yes, they have to be born. Which were born. How were they born? Not of blood. So it's not of the flesh, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Well, how were they born? They were born of God. That's who was able to believe in Jesus and become a disciple of Christ and a follower of him. Those that were born of God. And he gave each and every one of those that have been born of God the ability to become the manifested Son of God here in time, where they live, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Yes, indeed, the manifested sons of the living God. Now let's turn here over to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll find a scripture that says those that are followers of Christ, those who are followers of Jesus, are the children of God. We'll find here in chapter 6 of the book of 2 Corinthians, we'll begin there at verse 14. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now I want you to think about that, men. What communion hath light with darkness? You know, you can be in a dark room and it can be pitch black. As I heard Elder Sammy Bryant say one time, it can be dark as midnight under a wash pot. It can be so dark. But when you turn on the light when it's dark like that, the darkness flees and the light lights the room. That's the way light works. It lights up that this dark, and the darkness flees. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Yes, indeed. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yes, indeed, what a glorious honor and privilege it is to live this life here in time as a son, as a daughter, as a child of the living God. That is much more critical and important than just being a citizen of the United States, because there's children of God all around the world that are not citizens of the United States, yet they still have this privilege of being a child of God and a manifested child of God to serve Christ Jesus our Lord and be a disciple of Him as they travel here in this world. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Galatians, where we'll see that we are heirs of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I believe I used this as a text maybe the last time I spoke to you, when I was using it, I was speaking to you about God being the author of redemption. But here we're talking about being a son of the living God. And he says in chapter 4, the book of Galatians, beginning there at chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Yes, be adopted into the family of God. And because ye are sons, how are you sons? You're sons by election. You're sons because God chose you and elected you before the foundation of the world and gave you to Christ. And he came here and redeemed you. And because ye are sons, he hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And when the Spirit's within you, it cries out. It cries out from within you, Abba, Father, and it causes you to turn your heart and mind toward Christ and become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a disciple of him here in this world. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Yes, indeed. How then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. And you know, that 8th verse right there describes a lot of God's children today. They're born again. They have the Spirit of God with them. But know not God. He said, how then, when you know not God, even though you're born again, you did service unto them which are by nature no gods. That's what they're doing. They're serving that's not true. They're serving that's not according to the scripture. But now, after that ye have known God, after you've known God and known His truth and serve Him, or rather are known of God, and you know Him because you know that you know Him because He first knew you. You love Him because He first loved you. Because rather than known of God, how then turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Philippians, where we'll see we're sons of God, it says here, without rebuke before God. What a great honor it is to know that we are children of God without rebuke. Even though we're sinners by nature, yet we're children of God without rebuke. We'll begin there at verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, is he talking about working out your eternal salvation? No, that's been worked out by you, by what Christ came here and did for you. This is talking about working out your timely salvation while you live here in this world. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You see, you have the Spirit of God within you, and it's working within you to work out the things toward God. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that I may be blameless, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Think of that. We're the sons of the living God of heaven and earth, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yes, indeed, the sons of God without rebuke. Now, one last scripture we want to take, which sums it all up, is found in the book of 1 John. And we'll close out with this one and then give Brother David some time here to preach to us. In chapter 3 here of 1 John, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now I want us to see that. Behold, what manner of love the God the Father hath bestowed upon us. You see, we have it because God has bestowed it upon you. You didn't have anything to do with receiving it or getting it. God bestowed it upon you by His grace. By His grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Yes, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Think about that. That we should be called the sons of the living God, the sons of the King, the sons of the all sovereign God of heaven and earth. What a great privilege it should make you feel that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What a great hope it is to have that within you, that you are indeed a sons of God. And who is it that is the sons of God? Back to our text, and I'll say that with closing, and then turn it over to Brother David. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, and may you always be thankful that you known and manifested as a son of God, and you've met here in this place to worship him and adore him for salvation that's of the Lord. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer.